Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. As always, the things we track and things maybe we should track and things maybe we think you shouldn't track. I will go first here. And Johnny already said the obvious one, but it is a big one. And that is your expenses, your business expenses, which I guess leans into taxes and your overall profitability of your business. For me, it's a pain, not as much as it used to be because I've gotten good at it. And I think there has been advancements in the space when it comes to tracking your expenses that make it a lot easier. I mean, if you just look at the people in the space that are resellers that are tax professionals that exist nowadays, and you can just pay them to take a look at your taxes and help you along the way. I think that is a huge benefit that probably didn't always exist. And I know for a fact it didn't always exist, but it sucks dealing with it. But you have to track these things. Like it's a non-negotiable to track like your taxes and your expenses and your write-offs and things like that.
I totally disagree with Mike. You shouldn't track taxes or expenses. It's fine. It'll work itself. No, people, you should absolutely track these things unless you like being a reseller from jail and your roommate's name is Bubba. If you're cool with that, don't track your expenses and taxes. It's fine. Yeah, I mean, things worth tracking. You should be tracking also your profit. What's going into my bank account? And is my number, however you're getting paid out daily, weekly, monthly, whatever, are those payouts getting bigger or smaller, or are they maintaining the same? And if they're not growing and either you're maintaining or they're going down, you need to make a business adjustment. Unless you were one of those rare individuals like, I get paid Social Security. I can only make X amount of dollars, excluding you people. Don't care about you people. I'm talking to everybody else who doesn't play that special little game. Or the pension thing, which is the same as Social Security. Like, your benefits are going to get penalized. I get that. I get why you can't go over a certain number. But for maintaining or going down, you should make a correctable decision in your business. And it may mean experimenting. And some experiments won't work out and you're making less money. Well, you need to try a newer one. Because what you were doing that was working, and I'm not saying don't do does what does work. I'm saying if you're wanting to make more money, your goal isn't met, so you need to figure that out. Whether that's adding in a different category, or that's doing more listings, or sending in more boxes, or something. Those are usually the go-to experiments on eBay and Amazon.
I want to throw some shade out there just because it came to my head. The things I don't track, the weather. Because I don't believe that just because it's hotter outside, people are buying less online. I think the summer slowdowns, like
they're all at the beach, Mike. They don't got time to be on their cell phones and computers. They're in the pool.
Meanwhile, there's people doing six figures plus, growing their business year over year, and summer is just another another season. Four seasons.
Now, if you're the coat seller or the swimwear seller in winter, yeah, you got some seasonality in your business, but we're DVDs, books, and CDs and video games here. It's all season round, all the time, folks.
Yeah, I mean, and most people that complain about it, it's funny because they're everything sellers. So, like, don't track the weather. Don't track the seasons. Just get out there and get it done. Things that I used to track that I no longer track. I used to track, like, my sources down to how many items I was finding, right? So, like, I think you still should do this if you are a newer seller. But I think when you've been going to the same stores for years, like I have, it's no longer necessary, right? So, like, I know that the Goodwill in Harrisburg is terrible, right? Like, I know it's one of my worst spots. That's just, I go there and it sucks every single time I go. I know. But for somebody that's new and you're trying to figure out routes and what sources are going to produce what, it is important to track, but I think as you develop business sense and your routes more and you go to the same stores more often, I don't think you have to track how many items you're pulling out of each store, how much time you're spending at each store because you already know these things because it's just repetition at this point. You just get reps in, so there's no needing to write everything down. It's all up here at that point. So I don't track it personally anymore, and I don't recommend anybody kind of tracking it down to that nitty gritty that's been doing this for longer than, 6 months or a year, and you're going to the same sources every single time.
I will make a caveat to that. Unless you've never done it before, then you may or may not realize how much extra time you're
Yes.
spending needlessly. Now, for people that have already done this exercise, Mike's perfectly correct. Like, if you've dialed it in and you've done the tracking and you've gotten down, shaved off minutes per item or minutes per listing or minutes per box, and it can't go down any lower without maybe some huge expense coming on, like you hiring an employee. It is unnecessary to track it after a period of time. But early on, you don't know what you're doing. It's going to take you longer than somebody who's been doing this a while, and you need to make your life easier. And the only way to do it is to put a little bit of pressure on you, which requires you to track your time.
Yeah, I used to have a little I remember Deb got me when I first started a little pocket calendar, and I would keep it right in my car door. I would go to a store, I'd write down where it was, how many items I got, how long I was there for. But after, 6 months a year doing this, I no longer need to do that. I got more efficient. I know what it's not like magically one day that I go to the Harrisburg Goodwill and I find 1,000 items. Like, that place is a guaranteed suck hole. You're going to get one or two items if you're lucky, right? So the idea of continually tracking things like that, it gets to a point where it no longer makes sense. But as your business grows and as you grow as a reseller, you're going to come across these things. And that's why some of the items I don't track anymore, some of you probably still do. And you could argue, both sides of the coin here. I just believe in just focusing on getting as much thing out the door that I can so I can make the most amount of money, because that's all that really matters in Amazon is just quantity, right? Quality means nothing to an extent if we're just talking about the actual quality of the book. So yeah, for me, I don't track that down to that level. You got something that we should track or not track anymore?
Yeah, and it's for people merchant or fulfilling for eBay, or anybody who stores items that they then have to mail off that's not Amazon. Your space is probably your pr most precious resource. So doing an audit of how much capacity can you hold that you have left. I mean, you've probably filled up something, at least a bookcase or now. How many more can you do? And that'll change a whole lot of things in your business. Like, oh, I'm going to run out of space in a month. Maybe I should change the quality of items I'm picking up. Yeah, I'll bring home less, but I'm able to store more efficiently, and the amount of dollars I bring and store are worth more when they sell. Because trying to be a volume seller, like out of your home, or even a storage unit, I mean, once you go into storage units, you're going to have an added expense. You probably don't want to grow out of that single storage unit for a while. So you also need to do the same kind of thing. Like, I want to be putting things that either sell through or that sell for a good chunk of money when they do sell off. So,
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
auditing your space and your capacity limits and your intake and outbound, I think, are important metrics for anybody storing items who then sell them individually to then mail off. I think it's very crucial in that kind of business.
That's super important. It's going to tie right into this one that I have. Tracking the age of your active inventory that you are selling.
Yes.
eBay, Amazon. So eBay, I think it's even more important because, like Johnny said, you got to look at the stuff every single day, right? Like, it's sitting there staring you in the face. And Amazon, it's just as important because the fees start piling up after 6 months. The removal fees are super high. So for me, and Amazon, how do I track this? I just have software, right? I got a repricer that automatically does this. So at the 6 month mark, everything is just blow it out the door prices. And if I had an eBay store, I would probably do the same exact thing, if not be more aggressive, because the stuff is just sitting there. It literally costs you money. It costs you mental real estate. It costs you time listing those items. Like, we got to sell the items we're listing. And for some reason, we don't care. It's cool to have 50 million listings on eBay, 50 million listings on Amazon. And I want people to sell their stuff. And I know because I used to be the same way when I was an everything eBay seller. You have that one item, you buy, you list, and you see it every single time you go to pick something, right? So like you'll list the can of Dr. Pepper here and it'll sell right away. But to get your Dr. Pepper, it's in the bin along with the phone that you've had listed for 25 years that's still not sold, right? It's just like it just smacks you upside the head
Nobody
every
wants
time.
your BlackBerry, Mike.
Nobody. And you have to track the age of your inventory no matter what platform you are selling on. Because if it hasn't sold in X amount of days, and for me, that's 180 days, then there's a reason why it hasn't sold. And most likely it's the price. And if it's not the price, it's the desirability. Most of the times, it's both. It's a sucky item and the price is too high. So what do we got to do? Sometimes you got to say goodbye. Got to say goodbye, BlackBerry. It's been nice. I'm tired of looking at you. I'm moving on. It's going to go to the donation pile, or I'm going to have a yard sale to clear out inventory. And you've recently had like kind of like a yard sale to clear out a lot of
It was
your
a
inventory.
giveaway, but I had a donation jar.
But dude, that's the thing. You recognize it, right? Like you see, hey, all right, I got way too much shit piling up here. Like something we got to free up some space here. This stuff just isn't working.
Yeah, because I accumulate trash, and it was literally pay to have it disposed of or go around town to the small dumpsters and do like one box per dumpster kind of deal. And it was just much simpler just to do a giveaway, and I cleared a few bucks out of that. I got terribly sunburnt, and it was horrible work. But you know what? It gets done, and the community feels good. Actually, making a couple network deals out of that too, so that worked out. That was more valuable than everything else I did with that thing. Now here's one I do track and I do monitor, and it's probably the one of the few things I ignore the no cost, low cost route. Shipping supplies. I gotta have my thermal labels. I gotta have my stay flat mailers. I gotta have my pre-made boxes and my polys. I never worry about dunnage anymore because I'm always getting it from Amazon. But shipping supplies, if I were to run out of shipping labels, well, now I gotta print printer paper. And there's another thing I track is the shipping supplies, printing paper. Or the little SKUs I put in my books that requires stock grade paper, so I need to have these things, or it shuts down my business. And me taking an hour, well, it'd be 2 hours really, with commute to I don't know, Staples or any kind of Office Depot, any kind of those places, just to pick something simple up because I live out in a rural area, right? It's going to be an hour, hour and a half commute, no matter which way I slice it. So for me, keeping track of shipping supplies is very important. Your Amazon boxes, how many you got left? You bought a 20 pack, you're down to five, right? Well, maybe it's time you got another pack. You got to monitor this stuff because it's gonna, especially for you part-time people, because it's gonna throw your whole business off. You come to the day of, it's your work day for your part-time people. Let's say it's Saturday, and you're out of boxes. You can't ship your Amazon boxes. Now you gotta waste an hour and a half of your very, in my opinion, your very vital time because it's part time, going out, spending a half an hour to buy shipping boxes. That's silly.
Yeah, I agree. And it's happened to me before. I ran out of the little SKU labels. I wasn't
Yeah.
paying attention because I got like my box buried underneath my desk and I was like, oh, let me go grab a roll. Well, there's no roll.
No
Well,
rolls.
Deb, you gotta order them on Amazon for me and it's gonna take thankfully they got here the next day. But like that stuff's, especially if you're part-time, like you said, it's gonna screw you over big time, right? Because you're expecting to get all this work done. And now you sit down and you ain't even got the basic necessities to even come close to getting the job done. One that I want to talk about here is tracking your buy costs on every single item in Amazon land. I no longer do that. So I used to say, okay, well, I got $2, right? Like this one from the Goodwill cost me $3. This one from the Salvation Army cost me $2, right? And I used to track down to, hey, all right, I want to know exactly how much I'm making, profitability wise. I no longer do that. My business has evolved to where if I had to track the 500 plus items exact prices every single week, there's not enough time. There's not enough time in my life to sit here and say, well, I went to 12 different thrift stores. They all die. So I'm dealing with 12 different prices. Is it a paperback? Is it a hardback? I now do a rolling average buy cost, right? I think it's just a lot easier. I know a lot of resellers are like OCD and they want to track everything, right? And I get it, right? It's just how you're programmed. You're just programmed to be so concise and analytical with everything. But I promise you're not going to lose money or time by kind of taking an overall look at your business and saying, okay, here's my expenses over the last 6 months. How many items did I buy? How much did I spend? Here's my average buy cost. Use that going forward, right? So when I list these books, my buy cost is a dollar because on average I pay a dollar. Some of these books, I pay a quarter for this little paperback, right? So I'm selling myself short by saying it's a dollar. So when it sells and I see the profitability, theoretically it's 75 cents less than it actually is. But then, like the hardback, maybe that's a $2 hardback. It all balances itself out. And tracking these things down to that level, you will go insane. And there is not enough time as you scale this business. Sure, if you're super part-time, you're doing one box a week, and you're the person that wants to know exactly down to the penny how much you make on every single item, knock your socks off. But I still would argue as part-time, it's even more of a reason for you not to track it down to that level. But I know I deal with so many people that find it so hard to just be like, all right, I'm just going to do the average because people just want it. It's just part of, it's not how human nature for some people.
Right. Now, here's one that I'm iffy on. I'm a little bit more anal when it comes to this, but I would suggest, asterisks, that you track your marginability of, okay, my fees are X, my leftover net profit that goes into my bank is this. How much of a percentage is that? So I sell something for a dollar. I'm getting 50 cents back to my bank account. Well, I have 50% margin. Oh, wait, buy cost. Oh, wait, taxes. It's not really 50% at that point, right? But okay, now I'm at, we'll just ballpark it here, 30% margin. Still pretty good. Oh, wait, I didn't account for my tool cost. I mean, that's a little more granular, of course. So maybe I'm down to 25% margin ability. But I think knowing that helps your business grow as a whole because then you start thinking in terms of percent points versus an extra $100. I find tracking dollars versus percent of margins harder. So I like knowing my margins in all things. So if I have a line column that's costing me, like we just mentioned, shipping supplies, it's costing me 2% of my revenue and and then my net comes into that. How can I cut that in half? So cutting expenses. And the way I calculate that myself is with margins. But if you're bad with math, and not everybody's great with math, I'll acknowledge that. Well, that's what Excel's for, or knowing a buddy with Excel that can help you comes into play. Or maybe you take an Excel course at the local community college. They're not expensive, and everybody offers computer classes these days. And if you don't even know where to begin, reach
Go
out
to
to
YouTube,
somebody.
dude.
Go to
YouTube
YouTube. There we
University.
go. YouTube, the free land of learning. There, yeah.
I think you're right. Tracking sales, right? Oh, it's nice. My sales are up, but that really isn't an indicator of your prof whether or not you're a profitable reseller. It's your actual bank account, your bottom line. So I do agree. And in Amazon land, we try to be close to 50-50 when it comes to selling media. So whenever you hear some hot shot YouTuber talking about they sold a book on Amazon for $100. Theoretically, at the end of the day, it's a 50-50 split. Now that will be a little bit higher because the fees skew less as the price of an item goes up. But overall, you're going to be looking for 40 to 50% coming back to you in Amazon land. And you can easily go in and check this. I've covered it. You just go to your payments tab, take a look at your overall fees, like Johnny's saying, and then your overall sales. So, your overall sales should be basically double what your overall fees are. So It is important to track that stuff because if you're just spinning your tires, I don't want nobody to waste their time reselling because there's so many different ways you can make money nowadays. We're not just going to do this just to do this. I mean, maybe you're the reseller that just operates as a charity, but to me and this guy, we are not charities. We got bills to pay, we got cats to feed, Johnny's got dinosaurs to feed, right? You're starting Jurassic Park down there in Texas, right?
Yeah, and mutant dinosaurs, because that's the way Jurassic Park's going.
Mutant dinosaurs, but these things we're talking about here, I see both sides of the spectrum, right? Some people they don't want to sit down and look at it. And some people all they want to do is sit down and look at it. I think you have to find the balance of tracking these things and not tracking these things. And a lot of it just comes with experience and you realize, okay, maybe I'm wasting my time, right? Maybe I'm wasting my time tracking down to the actual buy cost of every single item. Or the actual, source producing, how much am I getting from each source? Or there's so many things we can easily get lost in when it comes to tracking. And you just have to figure out what works best for you, right? Just because I say don't track it or Johnny says track it doesn't mean you should do either or, right? Like it's what works for you. And like some people have a hard time not, tracking or not doing the conditions or, and that's A-okay. As long as you're still productive at the end of the day. For me, I know you track this. I know basically every reseller tracks this is how many items are we getting listed or sent out in a week, right? Like what is usually it's hard for me to sit here and say, I want to send X amount of books every single week because can I really control that? No, because I might go in a thrift store like I did, and they had a ton of books. The video will probably be out by the time this gets out, so I don't care that I actually show it. You can't really see it here, but there's this little D and it's a publisher. It's a religious publisher. So I walk into a thrift store and they got boxes and boxes of them. Well, don't you know it's like 75% accept rate? So that was way better than it ever was prior. So I can't really have a quota say because I don't know what the thrift stores are going to give me every single week, but I do track how many pieces of inventory I'm sending on a weekly basis. I don't do boxes because some people are like, oh, send a box a week, send two boxes a week. Well, that could be very different because if you're selling DVDs, you're talking 80 plus DVDs in a box versus books. I got a box this week that's going out. It's only like 28 books because it's all the big books, right? That basically weighs 50 pounds, and that's what they limit you. So I do think tracking your overall, I mean, it's different for you. You can talk about it on the eBay side, especially now that you're doing consignment, like tracking how many items you're getting up on a daily basis, your draft banks, and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, those are very vital. I mean, especially we probably talked about this in a previous podcast of when my day gets thrown off. Well, you know what? I could still make my eBay quota. I'll just use some of my draft bank. And that's why every day I have to do a little extra to put stuff in my draft bank in order to provide me the security blanket of, you know what? My listings are going to go up every day no matter what, barring I'm in a coma and can't press the button. But that notwithstanding, it's very important. And here's another one. Most people don't think about it. I have, because if you're doing baby bulk or any kind of bulk, waste management's a thing, right? Like cardboard cutting, and if you're doing CDs and DVDs, case replacements, throwing out the junk, right? How much of your time is being eaten away by doing that simple task? You know what? I don't do it anymore. My employee does, because that's too much time. And it's a non-making money producing task. But that crap, and it's crap because it's going to be thrown away, it gets to be a gigantic pile at some point. So auditing how much your time is being put there, and should I do it on a daily basis? Should I pile it up for the week and do it on a weekly basis? Or should I outsource that if I have an employee? Knowing the answers to those questions can only be done with a time audit. How much of your time are you actually putting into waste management? The garbage, right? You're literally talking about janitorial duties. Or if you're in a warehouse space, same deal. Or maybe you got the thing of, because you're opening the door every day, right? So you're putting in foot traffic. Do you sweep your space? I sweep my space, or I have my employee do it when he's with me. Because that's a much needed thing, because that dirt and debris gets blown in the books and all of that, especially on eBay, right? So they got to maintain the same condition I took the photos in. So sweeping it out is a thing.
I used to be a huge waste of timer until I started realizing, wait a minute, and I think this is goes for everybody. If you are taking your item to the store to donate, you are wasting your damn time because all you gotta do is put it for free on any marketplace and somebody will come pick it up directly from where you're at. I don't care how much of it is. There's the thrift stores, even now, I've seen it, dude. Local thrift stores and even the Goodwills, they got box trucks. Just call them up. Hey, I got 20,000 books, and they will send out some poor soul in his box truck, and they will load your 20,000 books, and you can sit inside, not lift a finger. And I do that exact. I used to take them to the book donation bins. I used to have book donation bins all around me. So I would load up the car, unload the car, scan it, reload the car, then unload the car at the book bin. It used to be the biggest, and now I just put on Facebook, free car load of books. Guess what? Within 10 minutes, I got six people clamoring to come pick them up, and all I got to do is lift up the storage unit door, say, there you go. So tracking that is super important. It's like tracking the garbage, like the waste of your business and how you're getting rid of it. Like, how much waste are you dealing with? Like the boxes, like that's another thing. I can't, my recycling's limited, right? Like the storage unit don't let you recycle. My storage facility don't have a dumpster or anything, so I got to take my boxes down to the recycling center, which means I'm not doing it for one box, right? I let it pile up. It's the same with, like, when do I get rid of this stuff? Well, that stuff will sit in my storage unit until my next library is like, hey, we need to pick up this week. And then I put it on Facebook and it's going within the same day. So, like, I could even get better at doing that, but honestly, I don't want no parts of it.
Yeah, and same for me. Like, I let the junk books pile up or the damaged books pile up, and then I do, I guess, a giveaway. Would it have been simple? Well, no, because I couldn't even fill up my dumpsters because they'd fill up too fast. So it got kind of like you in the box. You gotta let the books pile up, you gotta let the boxes pile up. I think it's a lot easier to do one gigantic task than a micro task every day, but it's a give and take. I mean, one's may seem simpler than the other, but I'm telling you, for efficiency, doing it once in a while versus all the time for me has worked out better. Or outsourcing it as well. Here's another one for you. How much time are you spending at the, and Mike kind of touched on this, the post office or scheduling or going to your drop-off point, right? Versus scheduling a pickup time or a porch pickup or some means of doing it quicker, analyzing how much these little micro minutes that compound over the week and the month and the year are you actually spending. Oh, this is eating up 30 hours of my business per year. How can I eliminate this or get this down to like 1 hour? Things like that that save you time to pump those extra hours into more money-making tasks, I think are crucial in tracking. Like if you go to the post office, no matter which hour you go, it's guaranteed a 15-minute line. Well, maybe you start thinking about pickups. I know there's horror stories with that, like, oh, what if there's a temp and they don't scan my stuff? Well, yeah, you run that risk, but time, how much of your time do you get back? The UPS driver didn't pick up my Amazon boxes. Well, I guess you got to deliver them that day, but 99% of the times out of 100, he'll pick them up.
I agree. I think you have to track your time in a way where you can audit yourself and see where you are wasting time. Because every single one of us, we waste time, right? Because we're resellers, we're our own boss. We don't necessarily have to get things done within a certain time frame, and we all have the ability to not work today if we don't want to work today. That's just the reality of
Sure.
being a reseller. So tracking your time, not like. Like for me, I'm not super crazy with it, but I will say I have audited my time and realized where I was wasting a lot of time and, tried and got back a lot of my time by doing little things like saying, oh, no, well, I'm no longer taking things at a book donation bin. I'm no longer pricing individual items based on what I actually paid for. I'm just going to take an average. But I do think the two big things is tracking your overall profitability after all your expenses and taxes. And tracking your processes so you can be efficient as possible. I think our goal should be to make the most amount of money in the least amount of time. And everything we talked about today correlate to both of those things. And you have to be in line across the board with tracking some things. And then some things, it's okay to not be as, I don't know, I guess nitty gritty down to the exact penny on some things because they really don't have an overall effect on our business. Sure, they might make you feel better. And I think that's what it comes down to, right? Does it make you feel better or is it an actual need in the business? And I think there is a balance between them both. But if you're wasting too much time on doing things that make you feel better and have no impact on your business, then you can't complain when the business is getting results because you know yourself that you're doing things that make you feel better, but maybe necessarily don't make the business feel better. You got any final thoughts here before I wrap it up?
Got one more, maybe you should track, maybe you should not track one. I'm kind of indifferent on it. Is people love to track their sources, right? To me, it's like, okay, how many units did you pull? And because you're going to know repeatedly after a while, this source I don't pull from a lot anymore for reasons. It used to produce, now it doesn't, so it's off the list. Do I necessarily need to track that source unit production per week or however often you source from it? I don't know. 'Cause you, to me, you're the one doing it, so you know already. But if you need to see a finite number justification, like if I don't bring in X amount per month from this source, it's off the list. If you're that kind of person, I guess you need to track it. But for me, it's just I would remember that personally. Now, if you got a bad memory, okay, then maybe you do need to track it. But I'm kind of indifferent on that one. But my personal stance is you don't need to track on a per unit basis. You're just gonna know.
Yeah, especially, I'm out in the thick of it all the time. I know what sources are good. I know kind of how much I can expect to get from each source. The last one for comedy reasons, besides actually tracking your expenses and your profitability, I should have tracked my hairline when I worked at CVS because
Oh.
I would have quit sooner and I would not ha have been as bald as I am today. So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Get a hat, man. It helps.
Dude, then I get even more bold if I start wearing a hat. We'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.